And welcome everybody to Live at the Hive episode 225. I don't think our intro video clip just played there for some strange reason, but who knows? Technology, right? Everything can go wrong. Welcome everybody to Live at the Hive episode 225. I am your host, Dan Nedelko.
Yevna Gloria.
And I'm Justin Maciel.
All right. And Justin, you might have to speak up a bit because it sounds like your audio went low on us again. Just
lovely.
A little bit.
There we go.
There you go. That's what we need to do. So on today's Live at the Hive, we are talking about how to unleash creativity into not only your digital marketing campaigns, but into your marketing in general. And Justin, as a creative, I think that you probably run into this a lot, like finding creativity, making sure things aren't bland, especially in the social world, can sometimes be a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Definitely when you're working, especially in a corporate space, I find it's hard to kind of find that creative juices to flow. But I think mm-hmm. we've got some good ideas to kind of get people started there.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And Yagna, I mean, with what you do in social media and in the PPC world, I think that also goes for the same thing in that side of the world, even though, you know, PPC may seem not quite as exciting. I think it can be.
Yes, definitely. We have to put some creativity in PPC campaigns as well, because after some point, it does reach its saturation point. So there's some creativity that goes there as well.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So if you are on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, Twitter, LinkedIn, where else are we? All over the place. Hit that like button, follow button, drop a comment. If you're lurking, don't lurk, drop a question. We are happy to answer all of your questions. And if you're not live and you're watching this after the fact, continue to drop a comment because we do monitor all of our socials and we will be happy to answer any questions you may have about what we're about to talk about today. There we go. With the business now out of the way. Oh, hello, Pippa. Hello, Brandon. Hello, Yvonne. Welcome, everybody. The teeming mass is here. And let's just get this queued up and ready to go. There we go. All right. So there we go. So unleashing creativity into your marketing campaigns. Justin, you want to run us down on what's on tap today?
Sure. Yeah. So for today, we kind of are talking about some ideas when it comes to creative, whether that be grabbing some ideas or kind of inspiration and some kind of simple strategies for you to kind of take home with you. And then Yagna will be kind of going over the creativity side of the PPC, which is super exciting.
Yes, absolutely. And I think where it all starts is... and we talk a lot about this is, you know, what emotions do you want to convey? Marketing is fundamentally about appealing to your end user's emotions, to get that emotional response, to create a connection. Sounds all very light and fluffy, but in fact, it's pretty powerful stuff.
It is.
Yes, it is.
Very powerful.
there's actually a really great story. I don't know if either of you have heard of this. Oh, Pippa made a great comment here. Love it. PPC and creative are a marriage of opposites. You need two types to make it work. Ding, ding, ding. From on high, that sounds great. I think a really cool story that I had interacted with this user, this TikTok user before. Her name is Miss Excel. Have you guys ever heard of her?
No.
Okay. So sounds pretty boring, right? Like she's got a TikTok account. She gives out Excel tips and tricks. She's managed to build a massive following and she created an Excel course, but she imbued it with a ton of creativity, right? Which you wouldn't typically associate with Microsoft Excel, right?
No.
You think like financial analyst, you think, you know, but there are some crazy things that you can do, but she infused a lot of creativity into the TikTok account and a lot of fun into it and did the same thing and launched a course. And apparently she made $100,000 USD in one day on that course.
Wow.
It's pretty amazing, eh? Creativity is often underrated, especially in the B2B space where you think things are going to be very boring. A really great example, or sales. Another really great example of getting creative is the profile sales feed on LinkedIn and on TikTok, and Will Aitken and Tyler Lessard. I don't know if either of you have run into those ones.
No.
Yeah. They do sales comedy, but they convey a really strong message using really simple vertical video. It's actually a really great resource because in addition to being entertaining, they're not simply entertaining, they're educating. Call it edutainment, I guess. That's the kind of the buzzword that we've got for that these days. Totally. So again, you know, when you're looking at it, find the emotion in anything, whether it's your audience is frustrated and you're providing a solution, like Miss Excel, right? Where I can find time-saving tips that are really going to help unleash and make my work faster and more efficient, right? And then what's the desired outcome, right? So for sales feed, for example, the desired outcome is entertainment and education. I think those two things go hand in hand, and we're going to talk a bit about that as well. So Justin, I think one of these things here is, you know, regardless of what you're doing, got a comment from Paige. A great graphic creative video can not only compel a story, it can also get your audience thinking, reflecting, and even conveying emotions. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really TikTok kind of unleashed a lot of that, right?
Yeah, they did.
Totally. So for finding inspiration, I think that's something I'll kick over to you. When you're designing, what's your process? Do you get burnt out often, or are you like, where do you go for inspiration personally and professionally?
Yeah. So obviously, burnout is, it comes and it goes, you know. I don't think there's any kind of random time when you kind of feel a bit burned out on an idea. But I think kind of a good way to kind of break it down for inspiration is you kind of have to take it back and think, okay, what is my first goal here? So where am I kind of headed? What's the kind of beginning strategy? What's the goal? And then I go through and I'll look at Pinterest, I'll look at Dribbble, I'll look at DeviantArt, I'll look on TikTok. I'll look at like everything that people are kind of doing when it comes to that type of goal that I'm looking for. You know what I mean? And then I'll see how now I can mesh it with the client that I'm working with. Because obviously, every client is different. So you kind of have to, once you see a really good idea, now you kind of think of how I'm going to marry it to this client. And then that's kind of helps me spark that kind of creativity and that strategy.
Mm-hmm. There. Yeah, for sure. Yagna, do you have any creative tips in terms of when you're working on the type of work that you're working on?
I usually take inspiration from Pinterest when it comes to anything, let it be making content calendars or working on PPC side. Mm-hmm. Pinterest has been usually helpful for me.
Excellent. Yeah, and on the PPC side, there's also places like the Facebook Ads Library, mm-hmm. where you can see. Yeah. And another one for people on the PPC side, which is a really great tool, is SEMrush. You can see competitive PPC campaigns, and you can see how long they've been running and what's been effective. So, you know, lots of places that, depending on what it is you're looking at, but I personally really love looking to TikTok for creative ideas. I follow a ton of people in the marketing space. And I think one thing I take away from a lot of these, especially very successful accounts that are doing things, is they tend to find their own spin on a format. They're not simply taking the format that everybody else is using. So when you're looking at creating video, for example, which we're going to talk about, or you're creative, I think it's important not to just like copy what's trending, right? And especially on social, that's a pretty common thing. You can follow a trend, but try to get your own spin on it, utilizing your strengths, as opposed to, like, we're truly talking about inspiration and not simply looking at something and recreating what someone else has been successful with.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, every client is different. So you have to kind of really tailor that idea and kind of hone it into a different space if need be, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. For sure. So we're going to dive right in here. And one of the most important things when we're talking about video, and let's start there. And this is something often that we'll see, especially with, say, more traditional videography, is create that 4-second hook. And we're going to talk about the follow-on, which is just get right into it. You do not have time to be putting up a 8-second stinger with your logo spinning in and shining like a bright metal, for example.
No, I find like if you want to kind of do that fun logo stuff, that is an end thing. It's not a beginning thing at all. I think you can kind of, like you said, you want that kind of first sentence hook, get them in there, and then start with the content right away. You know what I mean? Don't beat around the bush. Start the content right away. And then if you want to have that flashy little logo at the end, go for it. But I think having a nice first sentence, reel them in, then get straight to the point, and then you're good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And as you can see here on the screen, this is from a social video that we created a little while back. But depending on where you are, having that captivating first, like no Dave in engineering, it's not okay. That will catch attention. That is actually the part of the opening sequence there within the first few seconds. But you want to be genuine. You want to hit directly to a pain point or a joke and get it in there quickly, because you've got literally seconds to get that attention before how things scroll on Pinterest and on Facebook and on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts and TikTok, et cetera. You don't have that time.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. Okay, we'll go to the next one here. Video tip number two. Yeah. No, Paige has a great point here. Consuming content on TikTok leaves no room for small talk. That 4-second hook is super important, or many people will scroll fast. Yes, it's 100% true. Go ahead, Justin, what were you gonna say?
I lost my train of thought, it's fine.
That's all good. Another important thing to remember is that, especially if you're talking about organic social with video, then one of the most important thing is the retention, the view retention, right? So you've gotta get, the goal needs to be getting 100% of a video view to come through on that video. For some of these more ephemeral or faster video platforms like YouTube Shorts, TikTok, Instagram Reels, that's why you want to keep it shorter when you're growing your account, to be able to get the algorithm to see that your viewers are actually watching 100% of that video and not just, you know, the first 3 seconds, because that's a signal to the algorithm that people are not fully engaging with your video. And then that's going to actually reduce your organic reach.
Yeah. And there's some like sneaky ways to do it now that I've kind of like seen on TikTok. You had a proper word for it. I forget what it is, but where they do like, it loops perfectly so that you don't even know that you've finished the video.
Yeah, that's an awesome one. Yeah, I think it's called the infinite outro. But just as an example, you see this quite often on TikTok, and it's a bit of a trick. It's a little bit of a hack. You would say something like, "And Mr. Beast has over 140 million viewers on 4 channels in 4 different languages across the world." You go through the content, and at the very end, if you're the speaker, you stay in the exact same position, and then you say at the very end, and you go, "And that's why," and it will perfectly loop to the beginning. Mr. Beast has over 140 million viewers on 4 channels in 4 countries. And the reason for that is you're in a sense tricking your viewer not to realize that the video is actually over. And yep, if you can match it up perfectly, you don't move. So it doesn't like skip and jump. I've gotten stuck into that actually, especially when they're shorter videos and you don't realize that it's looped again.
Yeah, especially with cooking videos.
Yeah, for sure. It's a bit of a trick, but if they can get the double view, then it helps them algorithmically, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Cool. So in addition to this, the second video tip is one, getting straight to the point, which we just talked about, be very immediate, get your hook up front and center. You know, you could be a little bit more touty. You'll see things like, this is the website nobody wants you to know about, which is a bit, you know, it's a little bit P.T. Barnum kind of selling it a bit hard. But the second part of this is, don't drag people along. Your videos should not be paced slowly. They should be paced fairly quickly with lots of value in there to keep those hooks and keep that interest going. Because again, you know, if you're going for 30 to 45 seconds, for example, you really don't have a lot of time to actually tell a story in that short period of time.
No, it can go by quick. And especially if you are kind of doing like subtitles and stuff, like you want to give people like some time to read. So you don't, you can't really put a lot there. So you got to keep it short, keep it snippy.
Yeah, for sure. Another quick video tip, if you're creating, is increase the speed of your video to anywhere from between 110 to 120%. That will help slower speakers speed up a little bit. You don't want it to sound like a chipmunk, but it certainly does help on that side.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to give one more video tip because I got a bunch in my brain and that because I watch a lot of this stuff. I'm really fascinated by this. Logan Paul's video editor is pretty well known. He's quite famous. I mean, he's literally the brains behind billions of views. And he has, it's a terrible analogy, but it's a really good one, which is murder your babies. It's terrible, right? It sounds awful. But what that means is when you shoot a video, regardless of what it is, if it stops the pacing and it stops the control and it stops that excitement of your video, cut it out, right? You can use a really cool platform called Descript. And it's a video, it's a pretty simple video editor, but one of the really cool things that it will do is it will automatically identify noise words like, you know how we sometimes people tend to say, well, you know, and repeat. Those are just filler words. And if they work their way into a video, it will automatically filter it, clip the video, and it's done in literally seconds.
Wow, that's amazing.
It is pretty cool. It is very neat. So yeah, beyond it being a terrible analogy, murder your babies. Like, don't get too attached to certain parts of the video or the video itself. Be willing to chop it up and tighten it up. And, you know, if you're a little bit bored watching it, you can be sure that your viewer is going to be bored watching it.
Yeah. Unless the is like comedic relief and you have like, you drag it out and zoom in or something.
Well, that's an awesome point, Justin, which is a perfect segue into our next example here, which is using pattern interrupts in videos. And you see this all the time. And this is just a quick animated GIF example from Brian Dean. He's got a fairly decently sized, I think 500,000 subscriber YouTube channel with lots of great videos on things like SEO. And you can see here what he's doing in a couple of ways here is one is using the visuals and you see how those screenshots are actually in motion. And then there's a single zoom jump there. You see how it jumps out and jumps in. These are techniques that keep people interested. It keeps people from clicking away. And it's actually psychologically proven to increase that engagement throughout what could be a longer, slower video. He's actually got a video on his YouTube channel talking about how he used to do his videos, which were basically a screencast, right? Like you typically, things like SEO, right? You'll typically see, a screen with some software and somebody's talking about the technical SEO or whatever it might be. He reintroduces this idea of a dynamic video edit that keeps it a little jumpier, even though it may not be the most interesting to some people, right?
It's so funny because it's a technique that's definitely come from like music videos and stuff by like switching everything like every couple seconds and kind of that zoom in. But just like something simple like that from music videos, applying it to your own kind of like video adds such a difference.
Yeah, for sure. And also I think, you know, from from YouTubers, like more, it's weird to say traditional YouTubers, right? But these are techniques that YouTubers like making 20-minute, 30-minute videos have used for many years and kind of perfected as YouTube's exploded as well. Now you find it's just kind of compressed into much smaller and shorter videos, right?
Definitely.
All right. And Yagna, don't worry, we're getting to the PPC side real soon. So you're going to be...
I'm excited about that.
Awesome. Okay, so Justin, why don't you walk us through some of these design tips that we've got here today?
Yeah, so this is just like a simple design tip number one. Even though we're trying to make these snippy little videos, try to make sure everything kind of stays consistent, whether that be adding your brand color in there somewhere, adding some kind of visual if you usually use iconography as your kind of brand. Make sure you kind of add that kind of the little snippet just to make sure that everything looks super cohesive when you look at your feed, as well as making those kind of short snippy videos. I feel like it really helps and helps really professionalize what you're doing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the idea of creating custom templates to serve and having that hierarchy where everything doesn't look exactly the same, but there's a connection and an amount of consistency without it being exactly the same for every single post. I think there was a period of time, especially on Instagram, where the super popular thing to do was to make every single post look nearly exactly the same.
Yes. Yeah, it was. It was like a weird frame that people would always want on everything. They wanted the images to be smaller for some reason. I don't know what's going on. But now it's like you want it to feel as big as possible, right? So it's funny how the styles change.
For sure. So moving on, we've got some tips on typography.
Yeah. So here with typography, especially when you're talking about video and grabbing people's attention, you want to make sure that the length of the copy is not very long. You want to make sure that the people are able to read it. Choose the typography wisely. You want to choose one that's easily readable, nothing too crazy or cursive or fancy where people are going to have a hard time to read it very quickly. Comes with ensure legibility, and then kind of including like a white space. So if you do want to include a copy, make sure that there's eligible room around it so that people can catch it where they need to.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, this is where, especially if you don't have, you know, Adobe Creative Cloud skills and you're looking at this, is where, you know, we talk a lot about Canva, kind of the darling of the industry. You can get inspiration from some of their pre-done templates, but also don't just reuse their templates, right? Like give it some of your own flair. Certainly use it as a starting point, but don't just copy it out.
Definitely, yeah. It's mainly use it as a base. Don't use it as the final product.
Mm-hmm, for sure. All right, moving right along to design tip number three.
So design tip number three is to include a call to action in some form, whether that be an install now, register today, whatever your goal is of that video, make sure you incorporate it in some way, whether that for here, it's just an image kind of putting the install now. But if it's a video, you got to make sure that you're saying what you need them to do. But like, for example, when you see everyone on YouTube and they're like and subscribe, that's kind of their call to action there. They're saying it nice and snippy, quick, getting it to the point, but you always make sure you kind of have that goal there of kind of a call to action of where you want people to go and what you want people to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's there's an old saying is never submit. There's actually a good t-shirt for people in digital marketing about that, which is always the default on a form, which is submit. Be specific about your CTAs and work them into your creatives, work them into, and be specific about it. What exactly is it? And you can be a little bit more loose with it. You could say, you know, yeah, let's get started, or I'm in, that kind of thing. But, you know, simple is good so people exactly understand what it is that you're asking them to do.
Yeah, I like calling it making it dumb proof.
Yeah.
So people know exactly where they're going.
That is a really great way to put it, for sure. All right, Yagna, here we go.
Okay, so now we are going to talk about top creative strategies for digital ads. And to boost your company's growth, you must strategize your digital ad campaigns. And like I said before, many a times campaigns do hit their saturation point, and it also affects all campaign metrics as well. So it is also critical to incorporate some kind of creativity into your campaign for them to stand out and also make them engaging. Mm-hmm. And so here we are bringing some creative strategies for digital ads that you can work on for your next campaign.
Cool. And one of the things I want to add is, especially for say Google search ads, mm-hmm. one of the hardest things to do is to write captivating, interesting copy with a hook in such a small text allowance, right? Yeah. And so it's one of the most challenging things to do. So certainly looking at some ad libraries and SEMrush and, you know, the Facebook Creative Ads Library, where you can really get a lot of good inspiration from work that other people have done. So one of the ones that is very cool, I'll hand that one over to you.
Okay, so this feature was something that has come up new. And in Google Ads, there's this feature where you can add a countdown timer. And it's a little handy tool that can help you to stand out while also conveying a sense of urgency to your call of actions. And this little function has a potential to improve and create. It can be basically created in any search campaign. So as your event approaches, this countdown function works in any text ad, and it will literally count day by day, hours and minutes. So this is very helpful for any kind of idea of sales events or grand openings or maybe a product launch or maybe live webinar or virtual webinar or even hybrid webinar for that matter.
Yes, it's a very cool feature that is dynamic, so you don't have to watch it. It will mm-hmm. count down right to the end of whatever that promo event is. And yeah, just a nice addition. There's so many features that you can implement within Google Ads, but this one is certainly a way to add a little bit more FOMO, urgency, that kind of fun stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's go back here. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, so the next strategy is using Facebook lead gen forms to build your email marketing list. And as working on PPC campaigns, one of the great things about Facebook lead gen form is that they minimize the amount of friction with your audience. So you don't have to send people offsite, like to a third party landing page, which may take some seconds to load. It works within Facebook. So there are some great tools as well for you to track your conversion. You can add directly people to your email list, and you can also get your metrics directly from Facebook. So while creating lead gen forms, you can add an incentive. For example, sign up for a newsletter and get 5% discount on the entire shopping or any product. And in this way, Facebook lead forms is really helpful because you can also customize your questions, and you can customize your fields as well according to what your goal is. And this will also help you in building lead generation and eventually building the email marketing list that you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things that we often see with lead gen forms is they're used for a specific type of event or mm-hmm. a specific type of a download. And next week, we've got some email experts joining us from AWeber, the very one of the OG email platforms in the world. They've come a long way. They've been around for about 20 years. And we're going to actually be talking about email strategies and different things you can do. The title of next week's live is going to be, you know, email isn't dead. The way that you're thinking about it is dead. And one of the things we're going to talk about there is the fact that people, like businesses, they have this email list, which is quite typically a passive list, mm-hmm. right? It sits back, you're promoting certain other things, but we want to use things like lead gen forms, for example, to actually promote the building of your email list and getting those people into specific cadences. It might be a 7-day boot camp with a specific outcome, for example, right? but providing really specific value and then using those Facebook lead gen ads to promote and then pull them into your main list and your main cadence as well.
Right.
Cool. All right. Okay. So next, oh yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. So I was saying that the third strategy is you obviously using interactive videos throughout all your funnel and PP digital ad campaigns. So it is really an interactive way to engage with your audience, and you're just not posting static images, but you're actually providing them information and also giving them brand awareness as well. So in this way, if the user does engage with your video ad, you'll be able to learn more about your visitors. And for them, it will just create a personalized experience. And there are many great platforms for you to create interactive videos. For example, this example is for Video Ask, which is also one of the great platforms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the cool thing about Video Ask here, if you're not familiar with it, and if we have a look here, so you'd embed this on your landing page as a destination from your PPC campaign. And then what you're able to do is you're in fact able to, you can see the list of questions down here. Effectively, what you can do is have kind of a, you know, if they answer A, then it goes to a different video, and B will go to another video. And so by doing this and then creating this interactive experience, it really levels up the performance of that landing page and that destination. And you could actually create an interactive video that acts as an assessment, but instead of it just being your standard, you know, quiz format or form, you've got that extra interaction with video. And the one thing we know is that, you know, video's everywhere and video in just skyrockets engagement across all of your platforms. Okay. Next up. So next up, we've, you'll go ahead, Yagna.
Sorry, I just lost my train of thought. So okay. Yeah, so the next strategy is offering your expertise as a reward and by answering the topmost or most frequently asked questions. So it is another great way. So you don't have to give away reward as a product. It can be your expertise. It can be your knowledge. And it really doesn't cost anything except your time and your information. And in return, you are getting new leads. You are making your brand awareness, and you're also getting engagement. For example, this video is one of is a financial advisor. And he, in this video, is sharing information regarding retirement planning and investing and tax information. So it really works in that way.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great point. You might say, well, what does that have to do with PPC or with the digital ads? Well, by creating a target audience and then creating a high value video that really speaks directly to that audience, we create what are called video view engagement campaigns, and we boost this to the audience. And then anybody that interacts with it between 75% and 100%, we can then retarget those individuals with a further offer. So the creativity side of this is, you know, a private wealth management consultant may not seem that exciting, but it is if you're at that point in your life where what he's talking about means a lot to you. So in a sense, don't necessarily think of creativity as, wow, could I be the next Mark Robert? Am I going to send a rocket, you know, like I'm not going to pull an Elon Musk and send a Tesla into space on a rocket ship, right? Or be the guy that jumps from the spaceship, Felix, what's his name? The Red Bull guy that jumped out of the, at high altitude. Like there's that kind of creativity for sure. But think laterally about your creativity as it applies for your audience, right? And so it can seem like, well, that might not be exciting, but if I was near retirement, and these were big questions, and it's near tax time, this is really, in terms of that creativity, is like answering the questions in the video directly in that video, which leads your potential leads to want to join your event. Whew, that was a bit of a mouthful.
But you got it out. It was good.
Yeah. Oh, I got it out. All right. Well, that is a wrap on today's. Look at us, 4:55 p.m. You might even be getting a little too efficient there.
A little too straight to the point. Yeah. Hey, we're listening. Yeah.
Well, this is it. This is it. I think one of the things to keep in mind, just to summarize and to wrap it all up, is creativity is a relative measure, and it depends on you, your brand, and your audience. So you don't always have to be goofy, be out there. Do your research. Look up what people in your field are doing that are really being successful. And take that as inspiration. Add your own spin to it. And then using, you know, typically I'm a big believer that these days, you know, run with the video. Video is should be the first place that you go in your creative process, because video is literally just everywhere, right? It's on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. It's on your website. It should be even in your emails. So think video, think getting to the point quickly, think keeping the pacing quick. Keep it fast. Give your audience something of benefit and of value that will enlighten them, entertain them. And from there, I think you're going to see the growth that sometimes stagnates when your creativity falls flat. So there we go.
You try to add too much into a video too. Sometimes it can be too.
Yeah, I've seen videos. I mean, the one thing that drives me nuts is when there's like a 14-second stinger intro. I mean, that's if you're watching a Hollywood movie, right? So Banderdash, thanks, guys. Great info. Thank you so much, Pippa. Thank you. Nice work, guys. And everybody, thank you for tuning in this week. As always, drop us a message. Like, comment, subscribe, and we will see you next week on episode 226 of Live at the Hive, Digital Marketing from the Trenches, where we'll be talking about email. And no, it's not dead. All right. Peace.